Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano. Today is September 30, and this podcast episode is brought to you by RunZero, an asset inventory and network visibility company. In today's main story, live streaming service Twitch dealt with a major bot attack this week and was forced to block logins from exotic browsers to prevent a threat actor from mass creating new accounts to be used in future hate raids. More than 4 million new accounts were created over the course of 30 hours between late Sunday and early Tuesday this week. The attack was first spotted by a developer named Commander Root, the author of several Twitch-based software apps. The developer said that while Twitch didn't detect the sudden surge in newly created accounts on its own, the company took only 2 hours to respond to tweet and stop the bot attack. They did this by blocking all user logins via web browsers, except for users for the very most recent versions of Chrome, Firefox, and Edge, going on the premise that attackers were using some sort of automated tools like headless browsers. Twitch Chief Product Officer Tom Verrilli said that the investigation into uncovering the hole exploited by the attacker would take time and they would be slowly allowing other browser users to log in again as they rule out attack paths. Since yesterday, Twitch has already been allowing other browsers like Safari and Opera to log into their platform again. Moving on to other tech security and privacy related news, Google also launched this week a new tool called Results About You. First announced this year during the Google I/O conference, this tool will notify users when Google indexes new web pages that contain their personal data. Users will then have the option to request that Google remove these web pages from future search listings. The tool is currently available for English-speaking audiences, but Google said that it plans to expand it to other regions of the globe. In government and policy-related news, a Polish court ordered this week a criminal investigation into the use of the Pegasus spyware against local prosecutor Ewa Wzozek. Wzozek had her phone infected with the spyware last year after she challenged in court an attempt by the Poland ruling right-wing government to purge the country's judiciary branch. Investigators and the EU believe the compromise of her device was ordered by the Polish government itself, which has been quiet about the incident and refused to cooperate with EU's Pegasus anti-spyware commission all year. Meanwhile, the Hungarian government has acquired this week the services of Avnon Group, an Israeli company that sells software for mapping and tracking social media activities. Avnon Group representatives told Israeli media this week that the contract has been approved by the Israeli Defense Ministry, but the sale is still considered controversial nevertheless, as Hungary is one of the 3 EU member states that have been caught using spyware against journalists and political rivals, and the EU Parliament has recently updated the country's designation from a democracy to an autocracy. As for some good news from Europe, the German government has expanded this week its security label program to new product categories. The BSI launched the program last year for routers and email services and then expanded it to cameras, speakers, cleaning and gardening robots, smart toys and smart TVs. From this week, the BSI said that almost all smart home consumer device vendors are eligible to apply for a security label for their products sold in Germany and show that they meet basic security standards. We also have 3 stories related to cybercrime-related law enforcement. The first comes from Europe, where a Northern Ireland teen pleaded not guilty to creating a DDoS botnet back in 2018 that was used to attack a large number of targets, including the servers of British and Czech police. The second story comes from Australia, where a court has approved that David Key Crees, known in the hacking underground as Abdilo, will be extradited to the US, where he will face 22 counts of hacking and fraud-related charges. And finally, the third story comes from the US, where 2 former execs from eBay's security team were sentenced this week to 57 and 24 months in prison, respectively, for a coordinated harassment campaign against 2 of the site's users. As for new developments from the threat intel space, we learned this week about Royal, a super private ransomware affiliate program that was set up earlier this year in January and has since conducted attacks against corporate networks. In addition, we also learned that the operators of the Bloody ransomware have now also incorporated the Leak Builder for the more advanced Lockbit ransomware into their own operations, confirming what many threat intel analysts have predicted it would happen. And also in ransomware news, we also had an interesting report from security firm Trellix, which said that back in 2019, when they were known as McAfee, They received considerable help into their investigation into the rebel ransomware gang from one of the group's disgruntled members. The company said that conversations with this insider allowed its researchers to uncover Revel's affiliate partners and the ClearNet location of its back-end panel. Also in Fred Intel News, Cyfirmware security researchers said they also spotted this week large lists of credentials being advertised in hacking forums for TP-Link network devices. Also advertised on the same hacking forums were cracked versions of the BruteRatel Red Team framework. Spotted by William Thomas, the security researcher expects that this will contribute to the tool's wider adoption by threat actors. As for malware-related news, we had two interesting reports published over the past 2 days on two malware strains named Prelex and Chaos. The first, Prelex, is a strain of point-of-sale malware that has been spotted by Kaspersky researchers across Brazil, and the company claims that the malware was developed by an old cybercrime gang that once used to carry out ATM jackpotting attacks and has since moved on to attacking payment terminals. As for Chaos, the second malware strain revealed this week, we'll let Lumen's Black Lotus Labs team tell you more on what they found.
My name is Danny Adamitis, and I am an information security engineer at Black Lotus Labs, the threat intelligence arm within Lumen Technologies. And today, I'm here to talk about the Chaos botnet. This botnet caught our attention for a couple of different reasons. The first and foremost was the portability of the malware as it was written in Go. This allowed the actor to have one centralized code base and then compile that code for various different operating systems, such as Windows and Linux, as well as different Linux architectures. In this campaign, we observed samples compiled for PowerPC, MIPS, ARM, x86, AMD, and Arch. This allowed them the ability to infect almost any device that was exposed to the internet. While many have theorized that this was bound to happen, this is one of the few instances where we can point to samples compiled for all these various architectures. The next thing I would like to discuss is the propagation method. This botnet appears to spread via three mechanisms. The first was SSH brute forcing using a dictionary of weak credentials. The second method included retrieving stored SSH keys found on infected devices. And the third method was propagating through known CVEs. During our investigation, we discovered at least two CVEs, both of which were associated with firewall devices, one for Huawei and one for Zyxel. We suspect that they chose to target these devices as they would allow for a high level of throughput and a longer dwell time than on, say, Windows devices, which routinely come with EDR products such as Defender pre-installed. By using these propagation methods, we have seen a sharp rise in the number of C2s associated with this activity cluster. In April, when we believe this campaign started, there were approximately 16 C2s for the entire month. Thus far in September, we have observed approximately 111, suggesting rapid growth of this activity cluster. Once they have access to the infected device, we have seen three second stage modules. The first was a reverse shell, the second was a crypto miner for Monero coin, and the third was a DDoS module tool. One interesting aspect was that we observed DSpox performing a DDoS attack against another website that appeared to offer DDoS as a service. We thought it was interesting to note some of the infighting in the underground ecosystem. The last thing we wanted to address was the name of the malware itself. We assessed that the threat actor named its botnet Chaos based upon the functions in the embedded binary as well as the names embedded in the X509 certificates. For more information about the Chaos botnet and Black Wolves Labs research, please see all of our reporting at blog.lumen.com.
As for APT-related news, Mandiant said it spotted a suspected Chinese cyber espionage group that used a novel persistent techniques in their attacks on VMware ESXi servers. Mandiant said that after the group, which they track as UNC3886, gained access to VMware servers, they installed malicious vSphere installation bundles, also known as VIBs, that infected the underlying server with the virtual PITA and virtual PI backdoors at the hypervisor level, allowing the threat actor to run commands on all hosted guest operating systems on that particular server. In addition, Microsoft also posted an update on the Zinc North Korean APT, which a week before Mandiant said it spotted using backdoor versions of the PuTTY software in recent attacks. In its update, Microsoft said that they spotted Zinc using many other freeware apps and not just PuTTY, with the list also including apps like Kitty, TypeVNC, the Sumatra PDF Reader, MUPDF, and the Subliminal Recording Software. We also had a busy end of week in terms of vulnerability disclosures. Among the worst was an academic paper on, we quote, several practicably exploitable cryptographic vulnerabilities, end quote, in the Matrix end-to-end encryption protocol used for a wide variety of encrypted applications. The research team said that the vulnerabilities they found can be exploited to break the confidentiality of Matrix-based apps and even run easy man-in-the-middle attacks on conversation participants. Since this was an academic research project, all issues were reported to the Matrix team, which released security updates this week for all affected libraries. Another set of major vulnerabilities was discovered and disclosed this week by security researcher Etienne Champetier, who found vulnerabilities in the implementations of the VLAN stacking or QNQ feature of modern routers and networking equipment. Champetier said in a write-up on Wednesday that these bugs can be exploited to crash devices or carry out man-in-the-middle attacks on private networks situated behind networking equipment, which seriously endangers most enterprise environments since the VLAN stacking feature is widely used in these networks. Several major companies like Cisco, Arista, Juniper, and Microsoft have confirmed that their devices are vulnerable and have released patches. And last but not least, we'll end today's news section with a segment from Piers Berry, Principal Security Researcher at RunZero, today's sponsor, detailing a newly discovered zero-day vulnerability in Microsoft's Exchange email server, which Vietnamese company GTSC said it saw exploited against local companies.
Security researchers at GTSC recently published findings around an O-Day in Microsoft Exchange currently being actively exploited for remote code execution on vulnerable targets. Though Microsoft has yet to issue an official patch, the ongoing exploitation activity observed in the wild led GTSC to publish some of their analysis in an effort to raise awareness, sooner rather than later, among Exchange admins and owners. While leaving some key technical details out of their write-up until Microsoft has a patch available, GTSC did include details and tools that can be used by an admin to understand if an Exchange server has been compromised via this O-Day. This latest event serves as a reminder that Microsoft Exchange has been and continues to be a popular target for exploitation. If you have Exchange servers within your network or you aren't sure, RunZero can help you quickly find all of them. Just visit runzero.com and start your free trial today.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.